Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Eco Money on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. It's time for our weekly segment, Eco Money, where we look at sustainability and finance and sustainability in business. And in a new report published by ACCA, Sustainable Public Finances Through COVID-19, with three organizations, ACCA, the World Bank, and IFCA, they're all calling for governments to use their public sector balance sheets to properly manage their finances through the pandemic, paying attention to their public sector net worth. For some, this means a change in accounting methods from cash to accrual accounting. For finance professionals, this could mean considering the broader metrics of societal well-being and sustainability. And to find out more, we're joined on the line today by Alex Metcalf, and he's ACCA's Head of Public Sector Policy in the Professional Insights team. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you very much for having me.
So first, tell us, how have public sector balance sheets been impacted by government's COVID-19-related fiscal policy interventions?
Thank you, Rachel. Well, I think you did a really excellent introduction of the report just there that we've done in collaboration with the World Bank and IFAC. And what we do see in that work is that the IMF has estimated that we've had around $9 trillion U.S. dollars of initial intervention in supporting both households and businesses through this COVID-19 crisis. And actually, from a little bit of analysis from Singapore, we see that's around $93 billion Singapore dollars, so around 20% of your GDP. But there's actually something importantly different here in terms of this fiscal policy response, and it's really the focus of this report. And what we see here is actually the majority of this response is not captured by traditional economic measures, like GDP, debt-to-GDP ratios, for example. And the reason for that is that we're actually instead in this crisis really effectively making promises. So, for example, if a small business is taking a loan from a bank, maybe the government's promising that if that, there's a default on that loan, they'll be backing it up. And because there's so much of this happening now, and it's actually the majority of the response, that's why in this report what we're calling for is taking a balance sheet approach, which captures these kind of promises instead within this report.
So, Alex, tell us more then. How can public sector balance sheets help government in navigating the crisis and its impact over the longer term? Because, you know, as you've mentioned, these are huge fiscal stimulus measures that we're seeing, $9 trillion being pumped in. How can this really be measured in the longer term to go beyond basically what's happening with COVID-19?
Yes, yeah, exactly right. I think it's important for us to try and, you know, bring our eyes up a little bit in how we're thinking about this. But in order to do that well, we need to have a comprehensive picture of the liabilities that governments are taking on during this crisis. Mm-hmm. And I think in doing that, we're actually going to be in a much better position to deal with some of these initial issues we'll be facing. So, for example, because of the kind of deteriorating public finance picture, we're going to have difficult questions around whether we need tax increases, whether we need cuts to public services to have sustainable public finances. And what we argue in the report is actually you can, through this more comprehensive lens, focus on things like maximizing the return of your public assets, so your kind of commercial or finance assets, to make sure you get the best return from those. Another example is actually avoiding poor value privatizations. So, you know, many governments might be thinking about selling some of their assets for a quick cash injection. There's, a great quote from one of our international finance experts who said, if you're only in that cash accounting environment where you just account for money coming in and going out, the sale of an asset looks like money from heaven. Of course, it's not. Instead, it's going to be affecting that public sector net worth position, so the net of the assets and liabilities. And that'll give you a much better view of if we're getting value for money in the decision making of different governments as we work our way through this crisis.
That, just following on from that point, as you've said, Alex, you know, balance sheet information can improve decision making, but perhaps should also act as a benchmark for new fiscal targets and also support governments in using sufficient fiscal firepower to rebuild the economy. But how does this translate to, I think you put it in your report, as a greener future?
Yes, and I think you've raised some really important points there about how you can have fiscal frameworks, so limits on how much spending governments do, to then establish what fiscal firepower they have to rebuild. But I think a kind of important fundamental point for us is that government's response to COVID doesn't necessarily have to lead to a greener and more inclusive future. That's actually a policy decision for us, for politicians, for citizens. And instead, we could use this moment in time to be propping up our carbon-intensive industries, our economy. But it's very much my hope that we don't do that. And instead, the kind of role of balance sheet information in this, one is in, exactly as you say, setting the frameworks for new spending and investment limits by government. But I think the one other point I'd raise with you too, Rachel, is that we can make use of this moment in our history to actually take a multi-capital approach too. There's some really excellent work being done internationally by finance professionals and accountants in this area. So where we're taking public sector decision-making through beyond financial and thinking about social, human, natural capital, and all of these are going to be much more important in our moment of looking up and thinking about that greener and inclusive future.
So just give us an update, Alex. What's happening in Europe? Because I understand that, you know, some corporations in Europe have called for some of the fiscal stimulus measures that are being introduced to not just go towards COVID, but also to go towards looking at, you know, longer term crisis issues. Now, you know, as you mentioned, it's a time to reflect, look at what we're going through at the moment and you know, be concerned about some of the longer term issues such as climate change, and corporations are, from my understanding, calling for governments with these fiscal packages, not just to dub them as COVID-19 rescue packages, but longer-term climate change packages as well.
I think you described that transition very well, where, you know, up until now, really that $9 trillion US dollars that we were talking about, that was really just putting economies on life support. That was the time of lockdown and trying to keep economy almost static so we can bring it back on the other side of lockdown. Now we have a much, I think, much more interesting set of questions to try and address, which is what is the future economy that we want to have instead? And to my mind, yes, you know, that's very much the kind of front end of the conversation now in Europe. So you'll have seen the EU agreeing a very large package. It's around 750 billion euros that is very much focused on this more greener recovery. Though I think, to be honest, there's probably even more to be done if you really get into the nuts and bolts of what they've agreed collectively as the EU.
We're speaking with Alex Metcalf, ACCA's Head of Public Sector Policy in the Professional Insights team. So, Alex, tell us then, what does this mean for finance professionals?
Yes, well, if we take a look at the profession and what's happening internationally, then I'd say that first and foremost, there's a greater role for finance professionals in decision-making in government. So moving beyond just keeping score and saying what's happened in the past as finance professionals and professional accountants, and instead contributing to the policy-making process in government. And at the same time, actually, I'd say that, you know, a kind of unique feature of this period is one of rapid response, too. So the IMF has talked about this in terms of governments needing to, for example, procure PPE, personal protective equipment, very quickly. And the way that they've suggested that governments go about this is that they move quickly and keep receipts. I think that's a really good kind of top line message of how we go about this. And finance professionals will play a really important role in making sure that in the end, we have the right governance structures in place and that the spending is ultimately accounted for to support public trust in this COVID response.
And you've also said in your report that finance professionals should look at the redirection of resources to combat COVID-19 and use them to address broader metrics of societal well-being and sustainability. So how can they start on this journey?
Yes, and I think, you know, that's a really important question to pose, because there are going to be some really hard choices for us ahead in how societies are going to be directing their resources to combat COVID-19. Where we do have increasingly limited resources, and we're going to still have quite reasonable demands for things like our provision of education, our social care, pension, and of course public health. But I think in the end, a really good way to try to approach this, to take that lens of societal well-being, is about agreeing a vision for our COVID recovery. And maybe a single example I'll give you of that, and it actually does predate the COVID crisis, but it comes from New Zealand. The Treasury Department in New Zealand has an ultimate vision of raising the living standards for all New Zealanders. And I think that's a really good way to try and frame the way we think about COVID recovery, which is it just can't be about competing priorities, but it's about how the system interacts, again, towards that multi-capital approach, supporting human capital, social and environmental factors as well.
So for looking at the accounting and the financial professional sector, obviously there's been a lot of disruption in the sector we've talked about in the past, AI, digital disruption, but now looking at sustainability, and for those accounting professionals or perhaps that are early on in their career and looking to navigate change and understand how they can really set themselves apart from you know, some of their peers, because it is an increasingly competitive environment, how would you say they should start to look into sustainability and finance and accounting? How is the sector changing?
Well, I'd say that the sector is evolving in a way where we're creating a T structure in how accountants are evolving, where there's still the foundation, we could say, if we take that shape in mind, of core finance skills.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would describe in terms of keeping score and actually being able to produce the public sector balance sheet information we're talking about, those core skill sets are not going away. Those are still incredibly important. But at the same time, there's a much broader set of skills that are becoming increasingly important for our finance professionals around the world. And that's very often referenced in terms of soft skills, so the emotional intelligence and those who are interacting with leadership. But there's a broader set of skills, too. And I think we talk about, actually, at ACCA in our professional insight work, the interface between human and computer, between human and digital, so artificial intelligence or machine learning, robotic process automation. All of this does actually still have a human element to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's understanding how we develop the right kinds of skills, and there's actually many certificates we have in ACCA to help with this, that supports that interface between the value created by the human and the machine.
So do you then think, following on from that, that we could see a green pillar added to that as well?
I think very much so, yes. Yeah. So the sustainability front is, I think, it's at the front of mind for many finance leaders. And when I join different fora and we have conversations about what's the kind of core issue, almost without fail, it's about how do we leave something that is sustainable for future generations. And that's something that, you know, very much I think there's an expansion of beyond the financial, and we're talking about things like disclosure or financial risks arising from climate change, for example. All of that is something that the finance profession needs to step up and offer to help us towards that greener future.
Well, Alex, it's been absolutely wonderful speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Rachel. It's good to be on the program.
We've been speaking with Alex Metcalf, ACCA's Head of Public Sector Policy in the Professionals Insight Team, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.